So the Jewish people gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Keep it simple. Give it to me plainly. There are 10 easy steps to a better life. The popular dummy how-to books cover virtually every topic now. Just the facts, ma'am. Keep it simple. If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Plain talking leaders, that's what we want. Fix the budget, fix healthcare, the environment. There must be an easy code to be cracked. Let's get to it. Today we find Jesus back in his life of ministry before the cross and resurrection, walking in the temple, being a rabbi, a teacher. The Jewish people, his people, surround him and say, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Plain talk in the realm of faith. Sometimes when I've been teaching an inquirer's class, I hear this comment, "I just want to know what it means to be an Episcopalian. Say it plainly." The problem is that talking plainly about a topic that is inherently complex or even beyond our understanding is a problem in itself. Gary Jones, a rector in Virginia, says this, "The trouble with talking plainly about the things of God is that the things of God are anything but plain." We sometimes would like to think that the Bible, Holy Scripture, is a code that can be cracked. Perhaps if we are persistent and have the right faith in God, we will get it. But is there anything plain about a God that calls forth people from a burning bush, or miraculously heals the sick, or raises people from the dead, and brings us the Gospel of John, which we hear today, the gospel that has been brought to us down through the centuries? "What my Father has given me is greater than all else," says the Gospel of John, "and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Say what? Jesuit priest Anthony DeMello has told a parable called The Explorer, which speaks to this dilemma. In this parable, a person leaves his home village to explore the faraway world of the Amazon. When he returns to his village, the villagers are captivated by his stories of beautiful, thunderous waterfalls, amazing foliage, and extraordinary wildlife. But the explorer has this dilemma. How can he put into words the feelings that flooded his heart in the dead of the night in the forest, or the sense of danger that he felt as he floated down the Amazon, or the warm hospitality of the Amazon people as he sat around their table by candlelight? The explorer tells the people that in order to understand the Amazon and its people, they must go to the Amazon themselves. So to help them go, the explorer draws them a map, and immediately the villagers seize the map. They copy the map, and everyone has their own copy. They frame the map and place it at the town square and in their homes. Regularly, they study the map and discuss it, while the villagers consider themselves an expert on the Amazon. Yet no one ever travels there. Anyone that has been to the country of Haiti, as we just heard about in Liturgy and Living, or the Himalayan region of China in these past few weeks, will tell you that maps and news story cannot ever tell you the whole story. Nothing can adequately prepare you for the experience of devastation but hope at the same time. Faith is about loss and hope. It is at its heart about our life experience. Experience in faith is all about transformation and change. I don't know if Christina and David made it this morning. Christina is our seminarian at General who will be ordained in a few weeks. But 3 years ago, Christina and David and Grace and soon to be Ben went to New York City and spent 3 years at General Seminary. And her life has changed in ways that she can only begin to tell you about, but that you would not know the deep experience as she does. This last week, I was at the first session of a 2-year program of continuing education called the Clergy Leadership Project, and it is run by Trinity Wall Street. It's an intense 5 days talking about leadership in the church, and it was all about transformation, challenge, and change. Our main speaker was Hugh O'Doherty, who currently teaches at Harvard and is a man known for his deep work on conflict around the world, particularly in Northern Ireland, where he's from. So we spent 2 days, 40 of us, around a table, night and day, talking about adaptive challenge. And particularly, we talked about the difference between a technical challenge in our life and what an adaptive challenge is in our world and our lives and communities. A technical challenge is like the dummy how-to book. There's a list, you've got a problem, and here's the solution. It's easy to see what the problem is and what the solution will be. But unlike a technical challenge, an adaptive challenge is much more than that. And it consists of recognizing that there's a gap between what could be and what is. And the main difference with an adaptive challenge is that it requires a response totally outside our current repertoire or expertise. We don't really know how to solve it, but know we need to solve it. The narrowing of this gap between what is and what could be is all about what Jesus talks about in his kingdom of God. And what it requires is a way of looking at problems. It requires difficult learnings, the loss of what has been precious to us, a refashioning of our loyalties, and a developing of new competencies. Those sound like business and management words, but they're about a very significant faith kind of change. Adaptive work takes a long time, and we people, especially we Americans, like short and swift and succinct answers. It is experimental. We don't know if it will work, so it requires risk-taking. It's often ambiguous and never easy. Kind of like your life of faith. Think of a big change that you've experienced in your life and how you made that change and how long it took you to adapt to that change. For example, quitting smoking or losing weight or stopping to drink is more than throwing away the pack of cigarettes, locking the refrigerator, or getting rid of the bottle. It is a complete lifestyle change, adaptive change. It is deeply, deeply unsettling and so anxious within ourselves. It's ambiguous. We don't know if we'll make it to the next day, so we take it one day at a time. And this is true of the life of faith as well. We're in the midst, for those of you visiting, of another wonderful, splendid musical production, this year Annie. And for those of us who have been involved in the production since its very beginnings 9 years ago, know that there have been all forms of adaptive challenges and change. Our set, if you haven't been to the show, if you think back to our early sets, you know that each year there's been another piece that's just made it a little bit easier to tell the story of the musical. But all of you in the musical know about adaptive challenge and change. For Memorial Church, think of all the challenges that we have required here in our 150 years, more than a plain list of solutions. There was integration. There was the new prayer book, not so new anymore. The challenges of city living. So what's next? What is the adaptive challenge facing you this year, this community right now? We want to say, teacher, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. But what Jesus says is, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Follow me, the adaptive challenge, so easy to say, a lifetime to learn. Amen.